Testing, 1, 2, 3, 3, 4.
You have to be a little louder than that.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Testing.
Testing.
And testing.
Testing.
Yeah.
That'll be our opening.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to 20-somethings.
Podcast.
Good job, Nikki. I am Sarah, and this is my big brother, Nick.
Hello, friends. How are you?
Yes, I have to speak louder.
Yeah, you got to speak a little louder. And there's lots of activity happening in the room today. We have two dogs playing. Nathan is getting all of our drinks and food for us, like a good little boy.
And period.
What? Period. And
period.
And Cece is just observing and offering moral support.
Yes.
Look how much louder I am than you. Do you see? I'm the top one.
Sorry, I have to scream into the mic.
No, I just need to be less loud. I think I need to hold it further away. There we go.
This is my first time, guys. Bear with me.
Yeah. Nick is so shy.
I'm so shy.
And so insecure.
Aw.
Dad keeps trying to, today he kept trying to hint that Nick and I should start like our own entertainment.
We are both weird, freaky.
We are good together. We have a good dynamic. Spirits. And we were trying to come up with names for it. We were like Nika, Nira. What else did we come up with? I don't know. We're just blending our names together, basically. Mm-hmm. You said like sassy, or what did you say?
Sarah and Silly.
That's so dumb. That's the worst one I've ever heard. Anyway, you aren't here to hear about all of that. You're here to learn what it's like being gay.
I'm still learning.
Yeah, so Nick, if you couldn't tell by his content.
My vocal flair.
his vocal fry, Nick is gay. I like to say Nick is as gay as the sky is blue.
Are you outing me to the public, Sarah?
I think your Instagram outs you for you. Yeah, he's Kangaroo Nick on Instagram if you'd like to check it out.
Go give it a follow.
Yeah. And he's also featured a little bit on my YouTube. Yeah. This episode, by the way, won't be filmed visually because we're at my brother's house and we look like...
And I have bad hat hair.
Yeah, we look like crap. So we're not filming it, but you're just getting the blessing of our voices, Darla...
Also, shout out to Amanda. I miss you. I wish you were here. I'm taking your footsteps for this episode.
Yeah, we miss you too. I hope Nick is a suitable co-host to fill in your footsteps.
I'll do my best.
Yes.
I'll do my best.
You're a natural already. Isn't it nice holding a mic in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to record some music soon, so this is good practice.
Yeah, and so Nick, I'm going to kind of just interview Nick today, I guess, because I am not... I wouldn't say I'm straight, but I certainly wouldn't say I'm gay. I think I'm somewhere on the spectrum, more so probably straight. Nick, as our resident gay.
The in-house gay.
We're going to interview him and just hear what it's like from a different perspective of being in your 20s. Instead of hearing from a privileged white straight girl all the time, aka me, you can hear from a privileged white gay boy. But yeah, we'll have a very lighthearted, fun conversation. Feel free to get emotional if you need to, Nikki.
No, we'll try. Doesn't come easily.
So, Nick, when did you first know you were gay?
I think I always sort of knew, but I think when I was going through puberty, I was trying to trying to convince myself I was straight. Like I was quite a player. I had lots of girlfriends. I even dated a girl for one recess, a 15-minute recess once. Quickest relationship of my life.
Was it?
And I would try to, do my thing to the picture of a woman's cleavage or whatever, but it just never...
It never did it for
no.
you?
No, so...
So what were you looking at instead when you were doing your
I didn't really
thing?
Look up porn until I was 13, 14.
Did you have a crush on any of your male teachers or any of your students in class or your coaches or anything?
Fellow classmates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always was more attracted to them, for sure. I think, and then as I grew through puberty in high school, I was there's no point denying this, so you just have to embrace it. And then I came out at 16, and It's been great journey.
Great progress. Great
process.
So you
but actually, yeah,
came out to your friends first, right? Then family?
No, you guys.
Okay, because I remember so specifically, I'll never forget, the day you came out to me.
Actually, no, I told...
You told Amanda
Yasmin,
and them first, I thought.
Maybe Yasmin and Amanda first, and then the family. But it's funny, because like most people, when they come out, they feel like a weight's been lifted. Like, ah, but I actually went into a little depressed era for a year there. Like,
why?
Gained quite a bit of weight. I think it was more to do with being a hardcore stoner, like at 16, and being stuck in a small town where there's not a lot of queer influences or friends to have.
hold on, guys. We're just gonna break up the fight. Wow, thank you for opening up about that, Nikki.
Yeah, but I am happy I came. Once I hit like 18 and started going out, finding my people, it unraveled a lot more naturally.
And I think I remember quite well when Nick came out to me. I don't know if Nathan remembers, but Nick was driving me to dance. I think I was in grade 9 or grade 8. So you would have been...
I came out in grade 11.
So yeah, I would have been in grade 9. And guys, Darla... Sorry, guys, this is going to be the most chaotic episode ever. But the doggies are having fun. What can you do? Anyway, and so Nick was like, I have to tell you something. And I was like, what? I was almost kind of scared. I thought he was going to tell me he had leukemia or something. And he's like, I'm gay. And I was just like, I know. And then he was like, you do?
I'm quite like, an anticlimactic coming out for almost everyone. They're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. We've all known... For pretty much, I mean, I didn't even really know what it meant to be gay when I was little, but I knew that Nick was so fun because he wanted to dress up in my girl's clothes, and we painted each other's nails, and we liked the same dance moves. Like, I knew that I had a kindred spirit in Nick, but I didn't even associate that with being gay. I just, you had a little bit more of a feminine side to you than, say, Nathan did. Were you ever, like, teased or bullied in school?
When I was younger, yeah, and... Younger elementary school, just because, yeah, I was more of a gentle spirit. A lot more of my closer friends were girls. Like, I would dress up as Halloween as Legolas with that long blonde hair. And
they iconic.
You couldn't get the idea of that, so. But,
They made fun of you for your
freaking
Legolas costume?
But when I came to high school, even though, like, I came out, and I think people knew, but they didn't really make fun of me because I think I was just so big, and I had an older and younger sister sandwiched around me, like, don't fuck with us.
Oh, for sure. I was so protective of you. A few of the guys in my grade, who I'm convinced they were honestly just in the closet themselves, otherwise I don't know why they'd be so curious, but a few guys in my grade were asking me about you. Like, is it true your brother's gay? Is it true your brother has a boyfriend? And I was like, I'm not telling you that. Like, who do you think you are? But also I was like, why are you so curious? Like, are you?
Yeah.
I think, and looking back, because they weren't.
Well, there was like 2 openly out people in our entire high school of 1,500 people.
Yeah.
So.
And it definitely wasn't nice the way they were saying it. It's like they were trying to get some tea on you to use it against you or whatever. So, of course, I wasn't going to say anything.
I only told like 4 people, like family and 2 friends. And then like within a week, I feel like everybody in the school knew.
Interesting.
But going on with that, like, it's funny with being bullied and teasing and stuff. I feel like it really, it's come and gone in the years, but I find it definitely flares up more the more openly queer you express yourself with your fashion and whatnot. Like, as I was 18, 19 and dressing really queer and femme, like wearing tutus to the club and big jewels, like, it got worse.
Yeah.
Mind you, it just rolls over my shoulder and I carry on with my day. But I think the more openly...
Flamboyant or feminine, like, you are, yeah.
Yeah, the more you express yourself, the more people like realize that, and you're more of a target.
So I definitely feel like one of the biggest ways you changed when you kind of came out and started embracing yourself and becoming gay was like your fashion and your...
That still is to the day the strongest way in which I do it.
Yeah, because you, when you were in high school, you used to wear just very basic stuff, like, you know, sweatpants and t-shirt. And then you kind of went completely in the opposite direction and started wearing like little mini crop tops and little things. And
goes to show, I think, a lot with substances you use too. I was mostly a stoner back then, so you just want to be comfy and whatever. And then you explore more with other things and it makes you more confident and outgoing. So it reflects in that.
Yeah. And was there ever a time where you thought someone was like picking on you or being harsh on you or whatever because maybe they were gay or had like unresolved feelings?
I'm not that observant, but I'm sure that is the case. Yeah. And it has happened. Usually the people who are have internalized homophobia.
For sure.
Or are themselves and just don't feel that they can express that in themselves.
I know you never... Did you ever watch Glee?
No, I just don't like musicals.
Did you watch Glee, Cece? Well, the reason I ask is there's like this iconic storyline in Glee where one of the main characters, Kurt, is like super, super gay. No, he's the one... He's like gay and has like a really high-pitched voice. Oh. He's gay in real life too. His name's Chris Coulter, I think. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With the duck lips.
Yeah. So his character was like openly gay in the show and... There was a footballer who would pick on him relentlessly, like just constantly pick on him. And then like one time they were alone in the locker room and he kissed him. Mm-hmm. And then he like hit him and then he kissed him again. And he was like, I hate you, but I want you. And the guy, the gay guy, his name's Kurt in the show, he was so confused. And he was like, I thought you wanted to kill me. And then he kind of realized that the reason he was so... like hellbent on picking on this person is because he had these unresolved desires towards him. So if you're being picked on by a specific person, maybe that's something to keep in mind. Maybe they secretly want to boink you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe they're just an a-hole. Some people are just mean and nasty.
Don't take it personally. Just put your energy and focus on the people who love you and support you. That's what I've done.
Yeah. And so
as long as you are happy and make yourself happy, that's all that matters.
Yeah, and so what was the biggest revelation or changes you had when you moved to the big city? Like, how did your life change and your identity change?
I think just the sense of community. Like, there's far more people you're surrounded by, and you don't stand out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but it's also a whole other playing field. Like, the queer community in Toronto, or the more so the gay community, so big, and it's there's a lot of cultures within it and like tribes, whatever. And I've never really felt like I fit in with anyone in particular. I kind of feel like an outcast in my own right. Like, I'm not a twink, I'm not a daddy, and I'm sort of just my own thing.
What
which
other
I
ones
appreciate
are there?
Bear, otter.
What's an otter?
Like a young hairy guy.
And bear's an older hairy guy.
Mm-hmm. But I've never really
We're learning so much today, guys.
I've never really felt like I fit in with any of them. And then there's like sub and dom culture, and I'm not really that, you know, I'm more of a passionate person, so I've always felt a bit of an outcast.
Yeah.
And even just dating in the city is tricky because I feel like people are more sexually driven and just want like a good time, not a long time. They're not looking for long-term relationships, which is my sort of love language. That's
for
what
sure.
I'm seeking, ideally.
All four of us birches
I fall in love with almost everyone I'm with.
Me too.
And
oh my god,
like,
me too.
No. I'm like,
story of my life. I don't think I've ever like dated one person more than a few months and not fallen in love with them. I can't help
literally
it.
Literally a first date. I'm like,
yeah. But all four of us birches are like extreme romantics for sure. Mm-hmm. We all express it in different ways, but all four of us like love loyalty, love passion. And we all, I think at the core of us, want like a long-term relationship that's stable. But you and I think, just based on our personalities and lifestyles, have had like a harder time finding that. That's me, probably mostly because of my traveling and everything. But yeah, so it's interesting how even though you break free of all this, like... all of the expectations of being straight and you come out and you're able to express yourself as being queer or gay, then there's this whole other realm of labels and categories that you potentially might fall into. And it's like, everyone's always trying to put people, whether you're gay or straight or somewhere in between, everyone's always trying to put people in like a box and categorize them so they know how to deal with them or they know how to feel safe around them in some way. It's interesting. I think you are just you. Like, you're just Nick. You're like a breed of your own.
I am.
Yeah.
But that's why people don't know how to swallow me, you know? They don't know how to place me in a box, but I'm like, you can't, sorry. And I think I also tend to, like, I don't know, I value genuine relationships a lot more, but I tend to be attracted towards qualities in people that I don't have, and like the bad guys, like the hot guys, but they're not the ones who are going to give you what you want.
Oh, it's so hard.
I always look for love, probably in the wrong spots, like nightlife and like the apps and stuff, but that's not where you find love. Yeah. In the big city. Hinge is the type of app too where you're like looking for love. Like Grindr's the big one for gay people, but I've learned to go on there not really having expectations unless you do just want like a hookup or whatever. But you can meet some great just queer people and friends on there, and that's a good way to like dip your toes in the water and build a queer community that you can explore within in a safe way. I've made some of my best friends on the apps. It's also hard because a lot of people pay for like Grindr Extra, which expands your horizons, but I'm cheap. I don't. So it's the same old people within the same 2 kilometer radius that they offer you. Even I opened Grindr for the first time today in Kingston, and it's like ding, 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 ding. I'm like, oh, I love being a big fish in a small pond.
That is one nice thing about being in a small town is like everywhere you go, you feel like a supermodel.
The amount of people who compliment me, but it's mostly on my jewelry, but that's how I like to break the ice with fashion statements.
Yeah, no, I get lots of stares and compliments in small towns, and then I noticed when I was in Toronto the other weekend, like, no one gave a
everyone's
flying flip
competing
about me.
Everyone's fashionable
everyone
in their own right.
Everyone was so hot in their own way, like, everyone. I was like, there's tens across the boards in here, and normally in Kingston at the Toucan, I'm like, but that in some ways is why I do love a bigger city, because it just makes you elevate yourself. In order
to stand out in your own way.
Yeah.
I feel like even there's very narrow tropes in the city, but it's like leather people or all the guys wear the same tank top and whatever. But I like to show up in like dresses and skirts and stuff. And I don't do drag or anything, but I like to, I'm like, fuck you. Androgyny is, I don't know, really fun to play with.
Yeah.
The differences. I don't want to blend in a crowd. I don't want to stand out.
I don't know what the huge deal is. Like, women literally wear men's suits, men's blazers, men's ties all the time. But when a man wears a skirt or something, it's like...
I think it's so sexy seeing women in men's clothes and men in women's clothes.
Okay, so let's... we're going to broaden the conversation a little bit into, like, media and culture. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you to give a final piece of advice for all the little mini... queer people out there who maybe haven't discovered their true identity yet. That's they can hear from Gunkle Nick. So how do you feel about the ever-growing inclusivity in like TV shows and movies? Like, we watched a movie the other day, a Disney movie called Strange World, and for example, the boy, the son, was gay. And that's something you would never have seen 10, 15, 20 years ago.
That's the first Disney character ever, I think.
Really? I don't think so. Really?
Well, animated character.
Yeah,
I think.
Maybe. And I feel like, but now I feel like in every single show there has to be like a gay character, a trans character, and it needs to be hyper inclusive. And I think a lot of that is like really good because it's exposing everybody watching to different identities. But in some ways it does feel like a little produced and like we're just trying to meet our quota of...
It's because it's so much happening at once. I think people think the companies are trying too hard to be inclusive, but I at the end of the day I think it is really good that there is that much
push towards it.
Yeah, like representation in films and TV, we needed that because it's been so absent for so many years.
But do you think people are being like...
And I think it is pretty, like, it's not just, you started out with like gay men, I think, on Will and Grace, but like I think everyone is having their time now with like colored people,
right,
trans people, lesbians, bi people, like everyone is having their moment, and it's really, really good.
Do you know what a great...
It is also, I think, I've learned it's the companies too, where it's like mandated now you have to have diversity hires.
Yeah.
There you have to.
Yeah.
Both on screen and off screen.
Yeah.
You need to have people of color and different sexual orientations.
Yeah. Do you feel like for the most part people are being represented fairly and properly on screens and books and TV and stuff? Or do you feel like it's still rife with like stereotype and
they're getting there. Just the
exaggeration.
Fact that they have time on screen and like they're influencing future generations that it's normal to be that way is good. But I think, but that is media and the entertainment industry where it's very narrow. Like they're not really getting to the depths of it and individual experiences as much.
I guess
sort
they're
of just
the
like
same
token
with everyone. Yeah.
Gay characters a lot of the time.
Yeah. Exactly. That's my issue, is it feels very much like sometimes token.
Unless it's like an independent art house film where they really do a nosedive into it. But usually when it's a big, big production, it's pretty narrow.
Do you know what's a great... I know Nick's seen this show, but just for you guys watching, a great show, I think, for like younger people especially, that really accurately dives into different relationships and identities is Sex Education on Netflix.
Yeah.
They have a lot of different... colors and sexualities and experiences on there. And I think it's, they don't shy away from like talking about the good and bad stuff and the awkward experiences. And what was that other show? Heartbreak. You watched one show with two gay boys.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, it was
so cute.
It was corny, but so cute. But that's my type of love language and relationship. But I'm also like, what am I supposed to date, a high schooler?
Don't do that.
No,
don't do that.
No. But I'm like, it's so hard. Cute.
Yeah. It's funny because did you always want a long-term romantic partner, or is this a newer development since you've gotten a bit older?
I just, because you were
like in your whole phase for
a
while.
I crave stability a lot, but I also sometimes I do think I would really suit being like poly,
yeah,
and having multiple partners, whatever. But I can get that one day, but I'm also a very jealous person by nature, so it takes practice.
Yeah,
you gotta be open to it,
and you have to set clear expectations and boundaries.
Yeah, I can't take things personally, and I feel like from the get-go you got to be clear about what you want and how you need to communicate.
See, in one of my past relationships, it was more me dominating the conversation, but I was toying with the idea of an open relationship. And I look back now and I do think part of that was like, I really wasn't that happy with this person. So I think I was just looking for some leeway to like stay with them, but also find happiness. Cause I don't think one person can fulfill every single desire and need. And like, I don't know, maybe they can and I'm wrong, but I think even if you find someone who satisfies 90% of your desires and wants and needs, like there's still going to be 10% of you that's feeling a lack or feeling misunderstood in whatever way. So
no one person can fulfill all your needs.
Well, that's how I feel. But, you know, people say, oh, they're my perfect half or whatever. But anyway, so I was toying with the idea and I was like, well, we don't have to like go hook up every night of the week with new people. But what if we had like, for example, like a vacation pass? So like if I go away with the girls on that specific weekend or whatever, like I'm allowed to kiss someone or do whatever. I don't have to tell you, or if you're out with the boys, but not like all the time. But if you go away or like out of country,
yeah,
or something,
if you work in different countries,
yeah, like playing around with those ideas, or like what if we bring a third person into the bedroom or whatever it may be. I think that there's nothing wrong, even in a straight monogamous relationship, to actually take a few notes from gay culture, because people in the queer community have like notoriously always been a lot more flexible and fluid with love and sex and romance and making their own boundaries and their own rules and not necessarily playing by like the strict binaries of and structures of like monogamous straight relationships. And I've always envied that a little bit, but I do think in some ways, like you're saying, it can go a bit too far where there's like nobody who wants a serious relationship.
Yeah.
But I think straight people are always just like think that they have it all figured out. But I'm like, we should be taking some notes.
It all boils down to healthy communication.
Yeah.
You know, if you're forward about it and don't go behind people's back, people are much more open to exploring that for you.
For sure. And just communicate what you're feeling, what you need, instead of cheating and then keeping everything a secret. Like, just be honest with your partner.
And you got to know, like, I've been in an open relationship. But some people thrive on hearing about their partners with other people, and that turns them on. I personally would just rather not know from my partner because I don't want to hear the details. I would get like FOMO. Like,
yeah. FOMO.
But see, everyone's so different. Funny. So you got to figure out what works for you and your partner.
For sure. What's your all-time favorite gay character?
Oh, I don't have a very good memory. Think
about this. Who's your all-time favorite gay icon or musician or personality? Or they don't even have to be gay, but you know how like Madonna is like a icon of the gays, or Lady Gaga or RuPaul, or is there someone that you're... Britney. Nick does love Britney.
I do love Britney. Yeah,
Fergie.
I do love Nicki. Nicki Minaj. Yes. That's where I got my my name from. Kangaroo Nick. A Nicki Minaj lyric.
Wow.
Kangaroo Nick. Go back the hoe. God, I don't know. I love them all. I love all the queer people.
Was there... I guess I'm like, was there ever someone when you were in your teens or early 20s that like really influenced your identity or your...
Not really. Yeah. Like, I am a completely unique creature, and I feel like I've forged my own path. Even fashion-wise, how I express myself, it's pretty much me.
It is very unique, yes. That's interesting. Yeah, I do remember. I remember vividly being Nick's little sister. Phases of he was obsessed with Fergie for a minute. He was obsessed with with Britney Spears, and then what about boy crush? Like who? Like I know, for example, when I think of like Sexual Awakening, I definitely think of Orlando Bloom in both Lord of the Rings and Pirates of the Caribbean. That was like the first time I was ever extremely sexually attracted to a man, and I feel like I was like 10 or 11. Who was that person for you?
Oh, God, I can't pick anyone in particular. I always liked Chris Hemsworth, though. Like Chris Evans.
All the Chris's.
All the guys who were, like, shirtless in films. And I loved watching, like, American Pies because they were so sexual. And I'm like, oh, people getting, like, half naked on screen.
So there was never, like, a specific scene in a movie that stands out to you where you were like, that turned me on?
No.
No? I'm sure it'll come back to you. What about Brokeback Mountain? Great movie.
I didn't even think it was that exciting.
It wasn't actually. Well, it was okay. It was a bit boring.
I like the more modern stuff, like that new show, Uncoupled with Neil Patrick Harris, is a great portrayal in gay culture. Heartstopper was super cute. There's so many now, but I can't.
They're a little more lighthearted now and less depressing. Like, I feel like all of the gay storylines or just alternative storylines in general used to be so like cryptic and depressing, and the people would always end up like getting bullied or hurting themselves, and it was like not sending a great message to people potentially identifying. You know, nowadays it's like
there could be a happy ending.
Yeah, you can be gay and happy, you can be trans and happy. Like you don't have to be the one depressing storyline inside of this show.
The first, what I saw it not that long ago, that first big blockbuster gay film.
You saw it? What's it called?
Bros. It was really, really cute and funny.
It didn't do very well, which is unfortunate. That's like a sign,
it's
though.
It's pretty funny, but like I feel like it's queer people who have lived the experiences that can really laugh at the jokes and get the cultural references.
I think it would be a niche audience, but it is unfortunate that it didn't do very well in the box office. Yeah. Like, but I guess it's just...
The first big film that really, I think, queer film I watched was that Blue is the Warmest Color, the lesbian one.
I've never seen that.
Well, it's really well done.
Blue is the Warmest Color?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's a lesbian film.
Who's in it?
I don't know.
No. So what's your ideal partner? We'll see if anyone listening fits the category.
Someone who's self-assured and a good communicator, and someone who helps me like come out of my shell more, because I can be kind of shy and introverted at times. Who like has my back, good looking.
Tall?
Not necessarily.
Built?
I got to stop focusing so much on physical appearance and focus more on like...
Me too, but it's
the
so
personality,
hard.
Especially as I get older, like it's looks don't last. You got to find someone. I think the main thing is you have to build a good friendship with someone for it to be a healthy,
yes,
long-term relationship.
So true.
I value my friends so much. And that would be my advice, I think, is like stop trying to fit into the community and forcing it. And like prioritizing sex and like you're getting your kill count, like that is all fun and all, but it doesn't really get you anywhere. But focus on your friendships and building your footing within the queer community, like that values and that sticks with you.
Yeah, finding like a safe, maybe like a safe group of people that you can explore with, and people who make you feel safe and valued. And
yeah, I used to be quite scared of like having male friends in my life and male energies. I'm not really sure why, but in the past years I've really started welcoming more friends in my life who are men or have more male energies, both queer and straight, and it's been really good. It's like there's nothing that's scared to be above. You got to have a balance of feminine and masculine energy.
For sure, everybody should have a balance of both.
Mm-hmm.
It's
helped me tap into mine more. Mm-hmm. I was so strongly in tune with my feminine energy, but I felt an imbalance.
I'm not at all in tune with any masculine energy.
I mean, I'm still not sporty by any means.
It's bad. I'm such a man hater lately. I only am comfortable around like my family and gay men. It's bad. And Christine and everyone keeps trying to talk me off the ledge, like Sarah, men are not the enemy. I'm like, I'm in such a man-hater mode, so I'm trying to work on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And but I do overall feel a lot more comfortable and safe with gay men than I do with straight men.
Yeah.
Gay men have never heard
a lot of them are still very masculine yeah. energies, though.
I've made out with lots of gay men, and they're amazing kissers. Of
openly gay men, too, are still very, like, homophobic within the community. If you're, like, a lot of guys have really? Come up to me, and they're like, you're such a bottom, aren't you? And I'm like, just because I'm wearing a dress, you just assume that? Oh. That's probably TMI, but I was, like, once at a party, and I'm like, yeah. Guess what I just did in the bathroom in my dress? Shows you.
You know, I do have,
you shouldn't assume. I do have, just based on how someone dresses, you know?
So at the dance studio lately, my kids who are like 9, 10, 11, they've been asking to listen to my podcast. And they're like, can we listen? How old? And they're like, we're trying to take our mom's phone to listen. Because I guess they look at my Instagram or whatever. And I'm like, girls, like. It's well, not that I talk about anything. You can either crazy.
Cut it out or just put an explicit warning.
No, content. No, it's fine. I've made it very clear that this podcast, it's in the explicit category, and I made it very clear through the title that it's for older people in their 20s. You don't have to be 20. You could be 18, 19, or you could be 40, 50, whatever. But like, this is obviously not this is not for the demographic of 10-year-olds. So please do not listen. But mm-hmm. I mean, at least they're getting wisdom from me and from like decent people. Like everyone I have on the podcast is like a good decent person, because mm-hmm. the amount of media that they're consuming out there that's toxic and dangerous,
yeah,
it could be a lot worse than this podcast for them. But I do, that does run through my head sometimes when I'm recording, like, oh my god, what if a 10-year-old is listening to this?
I just gotta say I'm proud of you for pursuing this.
Aww.
Look at you. You've been taking steps, seeing the time you put into editing your videos and working on this. It's inspiring because I have big creative goals and dreams too, but I am not as motivated as you. So it's inspiring for me. Like, if you want something to happen, you got to take the steps necessary. Yeah.
It's scary. Like, you do feel kind of lame sometimes, like putting all this effort into a video or something and it gets like 40 views and you're like, oh God, I'm a loser. Oh,
I'm the same way. I expect overnight success, yeah. but that doesn't happen.
I know. And especially in today's day and age where everything's like super saturated and everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame, I'm like, just stick with the course and like be yourself and be authentic and gradually, hopefully, people will come on board. But I, now that I've started it, I feel like I just can't stop. Like it feels like I'm taking steps in the right direction. But
you're just, yeah, expressing yourself. It's your own form of therapy.
It is.
I'm talking about it.
It is. And you learn so much, not only about yourself, but about others. And so, yeah, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. And thank you for finally coming on the podcast.
Finally.
You were supposed to come on in May in Victoria.
I know, but that was a whirlwind. COVID always catching up to people. Nathan. And big shout out to Cece and Nathan for listening to us yes. chatty Cathy's for the
Nathan past. Is a horrible dog yeah. minder. He's been, yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm so mean to straight. I'm like talking to Nick with so much love. I'm like, Nathan!
What are you, what are you and Nate going to talk about?
Me and Nate?
Mm-hmm, when you do your show.
Nate's been on it before. Oh, clearly you don't listen.
No.
We talked
not
about
all the time.
Well, actually, Nate does need to come on again, so does Cece, because people really liked having them on. But Nate and I talked about Stranger Things, the finale, which has nothing to do with being in your 20s. But the show is also about the 2020s and like different cultural and Stranger Things is a big cultural moment. And Cece and I talked about, what did we talk about? Ex-boyfriends or something?
I think so.
Yeah. So we'll definitely have them back on again. And
we should do a big family one. Or is that too many people?
Well, Dad wants to come on. He's already doing his research.
We should do like a game version with everyone.
Oh my God,
like
so
who
fun.
Knows each other best or whatever.
Yeah.
You should have everyone's perspective.
Yeah. But they're not in their 20s. So I'm trying to relate it. Like,
we're talking
for Dad,
about what it was like for them in their
exactly.
20s.
Exactly. For Dad, it's like we're going to do generational disparities, kind of. So, like, what he doesn't understand about kids in their 20s nowadays. And then I'll try to give the perspective and whatever. Like, kind of like a, yeah, similar thing. Back in my day, in my 20s, it was this way. And for you guys, it's this way. But, yeah, Emily's been on. And so, yeah, now Nick's been on. And my episode last week, guys, if you missed it, was my – there's also a YouTube version of it. It was my 2022 recap, and Amanda made a little guest appearance on that podcast. So feel free to check that out if you missed it, and subscribe to me on YouTube at Sarah Birch and Instagram at Sarah Birch or 20-somethings podcast with two dots in it, 20-somethings.podcast. Nick is at Kangaroo Nick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He also...
I'm like shaking from how much coffee I've had.
Oh, God. Jittery. And that's that. So make sure if you're listening that you follow. So just hit the little plus sign at the top of... I don't know how to do it on Spotify, but I know on Apple... You just hit the little plus sign that like subscribes you to the channel basically, and then you'll be notified when there's new episodes out. And then you can also leave a rating and review, if not for me, then for my beautiful brother Nick, because that's really the only way to grow in the podcast world is ratings, reviews, and just sharing it with friends and family. Hopefully Nick, since he's actually on this one, he'll share it with all of his friends in Toronto.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at sharing.
He is. He's a supportive. Yeah.
Life's
a supportive
busy. Leader. I would do more, but I try my best. And you'll probably see
but
more
that
of me.
But now this one is you, I feel like you'll be like all
of
over
course.
The place.
I'll be back, guys. And thanks for putting up with me. This is my first time. I was a little nervous.
Great.
I'm a little nervous. I stutter sometimes, but
yeah,
I tried my best to express myself and my point of view and my experience.
No, you did great. Thank you so much for being on. And
let your freak flag fly, guys.
Let your freak flag fly. All right, adios.
Bye.